Today on the Pastor Study, the title of our study today is, If Ye Then Be Risen With Christ. If Ye Then Be Risen With Christ. We're going to begin our study and look at several passages in the Word of God today. The first of which I'd like us to turn to Colossians chapter number 3 and look at verses 1 through 4. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on the things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Next, I'd like us to turn together to Romans chapter number 6. Romans chapter 6, and we'll look at verses 1 through 6. Romans 6, verses 1 through 6. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin, that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we, that are dead to sin, live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. And then one last place with me, and then we'll begin our study today. Ephesians chapter number 2. Ephesians chapter number 2. And once you get to Ephesians, we'll look together at verses 4 through 6. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 through 6. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. During the spring of the year, each year, we remember and celebrate the very foundation of all Christianity, the resurrection of the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. As we celebrate on what we've come to be called Resurrection Sunday, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ is the single most important event to ever occur on the face of the earth. By his resurrection, all who believe on him are assured of their physical resurrection someday. It's the very last element of the gospel of the grace of God. We have the death, the burial, and the resurrection. All three are essential to our Christianity, to our salvation. That Christ died for our sins, was buried, and rose again the third day. However, the passages that we read, just read together, tell us that a resurrection has already taken place in the believer's life. Due to this resurrection, Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, tells us how the believer is to live, where his focus and attention should be, where he is to set his sights, where the affection of his heart is to rest. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 says, "Seek those things which are above." Notice the above in that verse is very specific. It's not the first heaven where the birds and the airplanes fly or where the clouds are. We are not to fix our attention and affections on the fowls of the air or the achievements of man-made flight and so-called science. The above is not the second heaven, where the stars, the moon, the planets, the galaxies are, the Milky Way. We are not to fix our attention and affections on the movement of the planets, as so many have come to do, amen, with astrology. No, the above in Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 is very specific and says, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. You see, the above mentioned here is the third heaven, the very throne room of Almighty God. Colossians chapter 3, verse 2 tells us we as believers are to set our affections there. Now, that word affection means passion, our desires, our inclination, propensity, amen? So, Colossians chapter 3, in verses 1 through 4 that we read, states that one part of the Christian remained dead, and the other part arose. The new man, who came up out of the grave with Christ, as we read in Ephesians 2:6, is already above where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God, according to Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. Therefore, our affection should be located in that place, not the place where your dead corpse has been buried, as we read about in Romans chapter 6 and verses 3 through 6. However, many a Christian's affections are set on the things on the earth. You see, many a Christian gets up each day, resurrects that body of sin that's supposed to be dead. And how can you tell this? Well, all you have to do is just look at where the average Christian is laying up his treasures. Amen. He should be laying up his treasures in the bank of heaven. Amen. He should be laying up his treasures in the bank of heaven. Most Christians' account in heaven is zero, because most Christians are laying up their treasures in earthly banks, be it Chase Manhattan, Citicorp, Bank of America, or maybe some local bank where you live. Amen. How can you tell this? Amen. That many a Christian gets up each day and resurrects that body of sin that's supposed to be dead? Well, all you have to do is listen to their conversation. Philippians chapter 3 in verse number 20 tells us that the Christian's conversation is supposed to be in heaven. But just listen sometime to the average Christian's conversation. It's all about self and what he or her has here on this earth. You see, once they leave church on Sunday, the rest of the week, they never speak of heavenly things. No, they're more interested in the coming baseball season. Amen. Or they're more interested in what the stock market is doing. Or they're more interested in what they're going to have for dinner. Amen. Especially Baptists, amen. Love to eat. I'm a Baptist. Amen. How can you tell that the average Christian gets up each day and resurrects that body of sin that's supposed to be dead? How can you tell this? By their desire. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 23 tells us the Christian's desire should be, as Paul said, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. But the average Christian's desire is to stay here on this earth until they hit the lottery. Amen. So I ask today, as believers, risen with Christ, what are some of the things above that we should be seeking and setting our affection on? Well, the first one is New Jerusalem. New Jerusalem, amen. New Jerusalem is above. Notice what Paul said in Galatians chapter 4. In Galatians chapter 4, verse 26, but Jerusalem which is above is free. And he's talking about not the earthly Jerusalem, my friend, but he's talking about the new Jerusalem. Amen. The one that Jesus Christ said that he's gone to prepare for you and I as believers. Over there in John chapter 14 and verses 2 and 3. And he's going to come again and take us to that prepared place, that new Jerusalem. And of course, the description of New Jerusalem is found in Revelation chapter 21. You know, God doesn't tell us everything about it. But let me tell you, folks, he tells us enough so that we should be excited, that we should be setting our affections upon our new home, a far better country, as Abraham was seeking and looking for. A far better country for the Christian is the new Jerusalem. Look at in Revelation chapter 21. Amen. That whole chapter, 27 verses. That's a lot. Some subjects we don't get too many verses on. But I believe the Lord Jesus Christ wants us to have a glimpse of what lies ahead for the believer so that we would be seeking the New Jerusalem and setting our affections upon it. Amen. In other words, as a believer, you and I should be homesick for heaven. Let's read some of chapter 21 of Revelation. Notice verse 1, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. Amen. So the heaven and the earth as we know it today are going to pass away. Amen. And And of course, I believe that sea it's talking about possibly could be the glassy sea that's at the base of the third heaven, the throne room of God. And I saw, and I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem. Notice it's a holy city. The earthly Jerusalem today certainly is not a holy city. Coming down where? From God where? Out of heaven. Prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Amen. We're the bride of Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ. We're espoused to him. He's our husband-to-be. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. Praise God, hallelujah. Now look at in verse 4. This should get you shouting. And God, it says, in God, not somebody else, in God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. How many of you listening today have shed tears because of pain and sorrow and suffering? Well, there are going to be no more tears in heaven. God's going to wipe them all away. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. See, that's where this is the place that you should be seeking and setting your affections on. Amen. Verse 5, Revelation 21. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. Amen. All things are going to be made new by the Lord Jesus Christ. He said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. Amen. They're true. What we just read is true, and they're faithful. They're not going to change. Amen. Things are just waiting for us. He said unto me, It is done. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. Praise the Lord for that. Salvation is free. The fountain of water of life is given freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Yes, we've already overcome, because the Lord Jesus Christ has overcome. We've read some positive things. Let's look at some negative things that won't be there. But the fearful, the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, the whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. See? And then we read on. It says, And he carried me in verse 10, away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and shewed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal, and had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and the names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east three gates, on the north three gates, on the south three gates, and on the west three gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he talked with me and had a golden reed to measure the city and the gates thereof and the wall thereof. Then he gives the measurements. Then he talks about the walls. The building of the wall of it was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. And it tells us, and the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. And if you read down through there, we won't, but I encourage you to do it, mentions 12 precious stones that make up the foundation of the wall. And then we see that we have gates of pearl in verse 21. And the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. And there was no need, amen, for light there. Why? The city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. The Lord Jesus Christ is going to light the place up. There won't be any need for the sun light, or artificial light for that manner. So we should be seeking and setting our affections. If you're risen for Christ, this is where you should be seeking and setting your affections on. Your future eternal home, the New Jerusalem. Amen. We just spent a little bit of time talking about it. Praise the Lord. You should be excited about it. Most people out there today have no hope. They don't know where they're going to go when they die. But you, as a believer in Jesus Christ, amen, know the scriptures tell you that the New Jerusalem, this beautiful place that's described here in the Word of God, is going to be your eternal home. See, if you reflected on that, if you sought that, and you put you set your affections on it, you know what? You wouldn't be as depressed as you maybe are right now. The cares and worries of this world wouldn't bring you down. Why? Because you know what lies ahead. Amen. That whatever you're going through right now, and as unpleasant as it might be, is just for a time. As the scripture says, it shall come to pass, and it will. And someday you wake up. Amen. New Jerusalem. New Jerusalem, living in a mansion that the Lord of glory himself, the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for your sins and my sins, has prepared himself for each and every believer. Praise God, hallelujah. What's another thing that's above that we should be seeking and setting our affections on? Well, the throne room of God is above. That's where we're told the Lord Jesus Christ is sitting at the right hand of the Father. Turn to Revelation chapter 4 with me. Revelation chapter 4 in verses 1 through 4. After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. So, my friends, heaven has a literal door. Amen. And the first voice which I heard was, as it were, of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will shew you these things which must be hereafter. And, of course, here we have in chapter 4 the church being taken out. Amen. At the rapture. Verse 2, and immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone, and there was a rainbow around about the throne in a sight like unto an emerald. See, God has allowed man, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, to pen these words. These are God-breathed words, in terms that we can comprehend, to get a picture of what it's going to be like. And around about the throne were 24 seats. And upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. See, then we read on in verse 5, out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices, and there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. And before the throne, there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. In the midst of the throne, around about the throne, were 4 beasts full of eyes before and behind. That glassy sea right there at the base of the third heaven. But here we have a description. You know, someday we're going to come before that throne. What a beautiful sight. What a magnificent sight. Because the Lord of glory, again, is going to be sitting on that throne. The one that saved you, the one that saved me. That's where you should be seeking. Amen. That's where your affections should be on. Seeking and setting your affections on the things above. The throne of God, amen. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on the things above, not on the things on the earth. See, that's your whole problem as a believer sometimes, is where you're seeking and where you're setting your affections. Once you turn from looking up and you start looking down, that's when everything is, they say, goes downhill. Amen. Because it's nothing. There's nothing on this earth that's worth a hill of beans, as the expression goes. Amen. It's all up there. It's all above. It's all in the future. See, we're left behind, amen, right now, waiting for the Lord to return. Not to get entangled with the affairs of this world, but to live and to work for the Lord Jesus Christ. To try to win others and lead them to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We have a ministry of reconciliation to bring people and God back together. They've been separated. The fellowship's been broken. Why? Because of sin. That's why the Lord of glory, the Lord Jesus Christ, had to die on that cross of Calvary and shed his precious blood because of sin. My sin, your sin, and everybody else's sin. Amen. Things above. Try to picture in your mind what it's going to be like. Amen. Don't daydream, amen, about being on your speedboat and whatever lake you like to take it on. Daydream about what is it going to be like to be in the very presence of the Lord of glory before the throne room of Almighty God. Amen. Well, we're quickly running out of time here on the pastor's study. We're going to continue our study here on Seek Ye, amen. If you then be risen with Christ, amen, as the Word of God says, if you be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God, and set your affections on the things above, not on the things of the earth. And again, we'll continue to look at some more things that are above that we as Christians should be seeking and setting our affections on. Until we meet again on the Pastor Study, this is Pastor Gino Cassitz. Until we meet again on the Pastor Study, my prayer is that God would richly bless each and every one of you, and good day.